This evening, as you know, or you probably know, is the missionary lesson. And if it caught you by surprise, maybe you're sitting there thinking, oh, should have stayed home. but tonight we're going to be talking about radio. And maybe you're thinking, radio, isn't that kind of getting outdated? You know, aren't there better technologies now? Radio offerings were going on years and years ago. There are better technologies, and we are using them. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that in another lesson. But radio is still vitally important. And I'm hoping that by the end of tonight, you'll realize just how important radio still is. Radio gets places that missionaries cannot. It can do things that missionaries cannot do. And it's really an exciting, exciting program that the Church of the Nazarene is still using. One of the oldies but goodies. Hannah's piano teacher often talks about the hymns being the good old hymns of the church. Well, this is a good old missions outreach of the church. And it still works today and has not gotten outdated, kind of like some of those good old hymns of the church. So, if you listen to radio, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody? Maybe I should say if you don't, but it looks like pretty nearly everybody listens to radio. I know, you know, it's on quite a bit at our house. In fact, in Lillian's room, it's on 24/7, I think. I walk past her bedroom, I can hear the radio. Interesting, I never knew this. The word broadcast, like we have a radio broadcast, do you know where that comes from? I never knew this. It's an agricultural term, when you used to broadcast the seeds and scatter the seeds about and throw them far and wide. And that's where the word radio broadcasting came from. We're spreading out and tossing out these messages. For better or for worse, we all know there's bad stuff on the radio, and that gets tossed around too, but there's very good stuff on the radio, and that gets spread all over the world. And so that was new to me, the whole idea of broadcasting. That's where that comes from. A little bit of trivia, and then a couple facts here. 1903, President Roosevelt was able to radio a message to King Edward VII in England because of the Marconi radio. So 1903 goes back. You know what? I'm holding these in my hand. Look, now I can see. Amazing how that works. Haven't quite gotten the hang of these. Okay. In the United States and Puerto Rico, there are over 174 million people aged 12 and over that listen to the radio. So it kind of tells you how effective things on the radio might be. You're reaching a lot of people. Like I said, in the United States and Puerto Rico, over 174 million people listening to the radio. And most of those people are listening for over 1,000 hours a year. So that's a lot of time we're spending listening to our radio. Now, a lot of times we're not, you know, one-on-one with it. It's in the background or whatever. But still, that message is getting out there, and people are listening. Currently, World Mission Broadcast has 140 radio programs in 72 countries, and they're being broadcast in 34 different languages. So that's kind of exciting, and those numbers just keep growing and expanding. And for a minute of broadcast time, it costs about $4. So what you would pay for, you know, one of those fancy schmancy coffees someplace, or, you know, maybe less than that, depending upon where you're going, will cover about a minute of radio. See, and it's kind of interesting. You think about what, you know, how much money Starbucks brings in per year and what that could do for good. So I have a story here. Okay, this is a lesson full of some great stories. The first one, it takes place in Papua New Guinea, and some people were there, and they were doing some research, and they're going to see, you know, how the best place to reach, the best way to reach this area of Papua New Guinea, and this is one of the mission stations, and this place was about as remote could be, and reachable only by aircraft, unless you wanted to spend several days hiking through the rainforest. So, you know, if you could get the aircraft, that would be the way to do it. And so they were up there, and they're kind of starting their research and looking around and saying, okay, God, you know, what's your plan here, Lord? And they were wondering, they were so far out there, and the terrain was just so crazy. And they said, you know, God, can World Mission broadcast programs even reach this area? And do the people even have radios? You know, if the broadcast could reach them, do they have a way to get them? There's these mountains and the canyons, and like I said, they're just so remote. They're so incredibly remote that things like electricity and telephone and TV and internet are just like, you know, rumors. They certainly don't have them there. And not only are those things just kind of like vague stories of faraway places, the whole concept of roads is kind of a novel concept because they don't have any. That's how far out they are. They don't even, you know, roads aren't even really available there. And so they are out there. And so, you know, they said, well, God, you have to show us. You know, our radio's a part of life here. And just as they prayed that prayer, they opened their eyes, they looked up, and walking in front of them are three men, and one of them is carrying a radio. And they said, well, Lord, thank you for that immediate answer to prayer. Orchestrated that very well. And so they went and they talked to these guys, and they were asking all kinds of questions about the radio and what they could receive on the radio. And they found that, sure enough, some radio stations did get there faintly, but they did make it. And Nazarene World Mission broadcasts were getting there. They could pick up some of the things that the Nazarenes were broadcasting, and that was exciting. And they were feeling really good about all of this. And then the man with the radio flipped his radio over. And he said, but let me show you. And there on the back was an SD memory card slot. The younger ones know exactly what I'm talking about. You older ones, you know, maybe not so much. I'm kind of vague. But, you know, anyway, you can slip a little card in there, and you store information on that thing, you know, and you stick it in there. And he said, you know, if you could put your programs on SD cards and get them to us, we can put them in our radios, and we can play them, and we can take them to the villages even more remote that can't get your broadcasts, and we can play these things there. And we can play your programs. We can train our pastors through these SD cards. And we can get them all over the place. And they're tiny, and they hold an awful lot of information. And he said, you know, this would be terrific. We could take our little radio. We could take your cards. And we can go all over the mountainsides and hear the word of God and proclaim the word of God. And that just, you know, they were already feeling pretty good, and that just sent them right over the top. And they just praised God because now they knew that they could air their programs could be heard, and they could send these cards, and they could have teaching and encouragement and all sorts of things available to the people in this mountain culture. And at this point, you might be thinking, well, if they don't have electricity and they're that far out there and there's no Walmarts to pick up batteries, what are they running their radios off of? What good is a radio if you can't plug it in, right? But it's neat. You know, these days there's solar-powered radios, and there's the kind that you crank them up and they get the power that way, and then they play until they're dead, and then you crank them some more. And so there's a lot of different options with the technology, and they can take these little radios powered by all different creative sources and send them all over with this information. And so that's cool. We have a video. I think we have a video. If Dan can get that ready. This is a neat video, and there's the subtitles. You have to kind of pay attention. It's a little bit hard to follow at times, but this is an amazing story of radio, the power of a broken radio. Really cool. So try to follow it as best as you can there. But are we ready? Cool, go. Thank you, Dan. Some information that wasn't in the video, that pastor. Pastors are a breed apart for the most part. They are amazing men and women of God. And the pastor in that story, you know, they had that program, and they said, you know, if you send us a text, we'll give you this CD. So the woman sent him a text. She did not live anywhere close And the roads, like I said, the places, the roads are just awful, and this is one of them. And so the pastor and his wife, they needed to deliver this CD. It was over an hour journey away to deliver a CD. USPS isn't there, So they got on their motorcycle to deliver this CD, to drive, the hour to meet this woman and give this to her. And the roads were so terrible, they wrecked the motorcycle. So a little while later, plan B, they try again. They end up walking, it was like around 2 miles. They couldn't even get the whole way in, gave up with the motorcycle, and walked the rest of the way into this village to deliver a CD. I mean, how many people just would have said, you know what, this ain't worth it. You're not getting the CD. But they persevered. They made it in. And then their home church sponsored this village, and they did a vacation Bible school. They did a special Easter and Christmas program, and they really put forth a lot of time, effort, money, prayers, everything, and just poured it into this village. And then, of course, the radio broadcast just constantly was right there for them. And the pastor would go, once a month and then twice a month, because the way was just so difficult. But they kept building it up. And now, because of this man and the radio program, that Rated PG radio program, there is the first radio church of the Nazarene. And I think that's cool. They didn't name it after their town or their community or, village, whatever. It's the first radio church. I thought that was really cool. At the end of that video, they shared a scripture, and it was Romans 10, 8 through 15. I want to look at that a little bit. Romans 10, 8 through 15. And you know it, but we're going to read it again and talk about it a little bit. And 8 picks up right in the middle of the paragraph there, so I'll give you a minute. Romans 10, 8 through 15. It says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, and it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Why are those feet beautiful? And we're going to kind of look at this scripture and start at the end and work our way back to the beginning. Because Paul keeps flipping things. So we need preachers to send out the good news. We need preachers to proclaim that good news to the people. And they need to be sent. They need to be supported. They need our prayers. They need our finances. No matter where in the world these preachers are, they need our support in a variety of different ways, in every way. And these preachers get to go out into the world and preach to the listening ears, to the people who are hungry for the gospel. And in some areas, they are so hungry. We're going to look at a story next. And the hunger in some areas of the world where God is not and the people are living in darkness is just incredible. People are so hungry. And we send these people out to proclaim the message to these listening ears because these people are looking for the truth. They want to know the truth. They want to believe in the truth. But they can't believe in anything that they've never heard before. Okay? I mean, that makes sense. If you've never heard about something, you can't believe in it. And they've never heard about the God who loves them. And because they've never heard, they can't become saved. And they can't call on him and call on his name without hearing, without those preachers coming out. How beautiful are the feet Think about if you were some of those people that are just living in the darkness and somebody comes and proclaims how much you will appreciate and love that person, how beautiful those feet are, those feet that God provided. And because of those beautiful feet, people all over the world are confessing with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And his word is spreading like wildfire around the world because of these people sending out this message. Lillian, we're going to look at another passage here. Oh, nope, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. I promised you another story. Next story is about a guy. His name has changed. He's in a creative access area. The gospel is you know, trying to be squelched unsuccessfully because you cannot stop God. But they're calling him Huel. And he was born in 1975, and his family was just steeped in non-Christian traditions and non-Christian religion. And that was the way he was brought up. He had a very prestigious family line. He was, you know, very high regarded. His family was very socially elite and up there, very well respected, known throughout the community. And they were the last family that anyone would think could possibly be influenced by Christian influences. And certainly, you know, Christian broadcasts or any of that Christian stuff. You know, this family was so elite and so special and just so whatever, you know, that there's no way you could reach them, you know. But in 1991, Huel started listening to the Christian radio programs. They aired after midnight, and after everybody had gone to sleep, he snuck away, and nobody knew that he was listening, but he was listening to these radio programs. And so he wrote to the broadcasters of the radio program, and he asked for a Bible. And they sent him one, and he received the Bible, read it. He says, but I didn't believe what it said. Think about that. It's kind of interesting, especially if you've been raised in the church and all your life you've known the church. You know, we just believe this. And he read it, and he didn't believe what it said. I was saved when I was in college, and so I actually read the Bible cover to cover before I was saved. It really didn't do an awful lot for me. when you read the Word of God with the Spirit of God in you, the Word of God comes alive and speaks loud and clear. But when you read the Word of God without the Spirit of God in you, it's, you know, not quite as moving of a book. And that's what he encountered. You know, he's like, I didn't believe it. It was there, but, you know, I just wasn't so sure about all that. So Huel met some other Christians and befriended them, or they befriended him, as the case probably was. And they had another book that they used to reach out to people like Huel. And it sort of showed how these bridges could be built between the Bible and what he was raised with. And it started making him think and kind of pull the traditions together and a new way of looking at things. And it looked at his holy books in a way that he had never looked at them before. And the influence of these friends and the guidance of the Holy Spirit all kind of came together. And in 2000, he gave his life to Christ. But I want to repeat those dates to you because it was 1991 when he started listening to the program, and 2000 when he finally gave his life to Christ. So that's 9 years. That's a long time that he really meditated on this and thought about it and kind of stirred it around in his mind and the Spirit working on him. 9 years it took. So 2005, 5 years later, he marries this Christian woman, wonderful Christian lady, and she had a very similar religious background, and she you know, they could understand one another quite well, and they had a passion for the church, a passion for God. And so they started this Nazarene church in their home, you know, kind of one of these small house churches. And they especially wanted to minister to the children. And they brought out this ministry to the children, and they're working with the children in their community. They have this church in their home, and the ministry is just growing But the problem when you have a growing ministry in an area where that's not allowed, it's not long before the government starts taking notice of this. And the government starts saying, we've got a problem. So, again, I want to repeat the date. They got married in 2005, okay, 2005, and started this ministry. By 2008, less than 3 years, their ministry had grown to the point where the government took a very sharp notice of it, and they ended up having to flee for their lives because of the persecution that was coming their way. 3 years. How hungry is that area of the world? In 3 years, this small, brand new ministry attracts the notice of the government, and they need to flee for their lives. That's how severe it is. How hungry are the people of the world for the Word of God? So they immigrated to Australia and lived there, bought a place, and the home had a garage, and they converted their garage into a radio and TV studio. They figured, okay, now we're free to worship. It's not so bad anymore, but we're going to do something for the people we left behind. And they started this radio and TV studio right there in their garage. So they've partnered kind of with the Australian Church of the Nazarene and World Mission Broadcast, and using the internet and satellites and all that kind of stuff. They're broadcasting the hope of Jesus Christ around the world in three different languages. And these languages are ones that are spoken by the unreached people groups of the world. And so they've targeted these people that have never heard the Word of God before, and they're sending out these broadcasts to them. And that is exciting, a wonderful program that they've started. And it'll be interesting to see how that progresses and exactly where God takes that and what ends up happening through that program. So Lillian likes to follow, I don't know where she gets them from. She comes with this little electronic and she shows me these great cartoons. One of my favorite is it's Jesus talking, to the crowd of people there. He says, "Guys, I need you to listen closely, because when I'm gone, I don't want four versions of this." I love that one. She showed me one time. If eschatology is the study of the end times, and it's a guy saying, "Oh man, I've got my eschatology final on Monday, and I was really hoping that Jesus was going to come back by then." Oh well. So we're going to look at another passage of Scripture, and I love the Word of God because it is so alive and so active. And when I read this Scripture not that long ago in my personal reading and my time with the Lord, I've been reading through Matthew, and I read this, and I was looking at it from the eschatological, point of view, and doing my own little mini study, and God was just really showing me, it was exciting, showing me some stuff I never saw before. And it's really cool. And I looked at, I was going through this lesson and I saw this. I thought, I just read this and I don't really remember anything about missions. What are they talking about here? And I looked up this story and I'm like, oh yeah, this one. This has nothing to do with missions. So I went back and I made sure I had the right scripture, and I read what it has here in the curriculum, and I was like, oh. And it's interesting with the Word of God how you can look at it from one perspective and it is so deep and so meaningful and so rich. And then you can kind of shift around a little bit and look at it from another perspective and see that exact same passage, and it is so deep and so meaningful and so rich and so full of truth. And I just love the Bible for a lot of reasons, but that's one of them. So we're going to look at this. It's Matthew 13, 24 through 30. And again, I know it's one that you've read probably many times, and probably, if you're like me, one that you never thought of in this way. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field?' "Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root out the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn.'" Okay. Now, when I did this, like I said, I was focusing on verse 30. Really didn't pay that much attention to the rest of it. But let's pay attention to the rest of it and see what there is to see. What does this have to do with missions, wheat and weeds in a field? It has a lot to do. It has a lot to do with our attitude towards the wheat and the weeds, and it has a lot to do with our best practices for reaching out to unbelievers and supporting the believers that we have. And so I just kind of was thinking about this, you know, when I was preparing this lesson, just all day long. This story is just coming through this. And I thought, what can I learn from this passage of Scripture? What can God show me? And these are just a few of my own thoughts as I kind of brood on this. We have wheat and weeds growing in the same field. They're in the same field, the same dirt, the same fertilizer or, you know, nutrients in the soil, whatever. They're getting rained on the same, you know, they've got the same sun. They have the same opportunities. And some of that harvest is good, and some of that harvest is not so good. But it's interesting that they all have the same everything. You know, and with radio, sometimes, you know, those programs go out, and everybody can hear them. And it's just kind of like, what do you do with that? You know, I know with the wheat and the weeds, it's the seed you plant, you know, but work with me here. You know, sometimes everybody can hear the same thing, and some people grow and are enriched and become better people. And that's the purpose of sending out those radio programs, that we can produce this crop in this field. God provides for everyone equally. He sends the same throughout the field. He provides for all of us equally. He loves all of us equally. He wants all of us to be in the harvest. And it's what we do with what he gives us that kind of predicts where we're going to end up. So that was my one thought on it. And then I was thinking, you know, sometimes in spring we feel, you know, I don't know, adventurous. And we go out into my overgrown wild flower beds. You have to see my landscaping to appreciate it. We finally took a large section of what used to be sort of a flower bed, overgrown, wild jungle of a thing, and ripped it all up and put stones down, because then you don't actually have to weed anything. Wonderful, I love it. But there have been a lot of spring times when we get a little overzealous in our weeding, and I've lost a lot of flowers to overzealous weeders. I had a lot of flowers that, you know, they just reseed themselves. So in the spring, you don't know where they're going to come up. Wherever those seeds landed, you know, that's where the plants grow. And Andy sometimes, he just weeded and took them all out. And I've lost a lot of flowers that way. Because, you know, when they're little, you can't really tell the difference. It's just this little green thing, you know, and they look a lot alike, you know, the weeds and flowers and, you know, and so I always kind of, maybe it's because I'm lazy, but I always kind of take the attitude of, I'm just going to let them all grow, and I'll figure it out when they're big, you know, when I can tell, you know, but because they all look the same, what do you do with that? And so I just, you know, let them grow up, and it's, oh, yep, that one's definitely weed. Unfortunately, by that point, it's probably sprouted thorns, and I can't get the crazy thing out of the ground anyway. But that's my flower beds. But I think sometimes people are the same. And sometimes we look out at people, and sometimes we're real quick to make a judgment and say, well, that one's a weed, but that one's the wheat. And we can't do that because we don't know. You know, when they're little, they all look the same. And we don't know what God's going to do with what we think is a weed. And we don't know as they grow. You know, sometimes things have grown up, oh, wow, I am so glad I didn't pull that one. That one's nice. It may well be a weed, but at least it's pretty. But sometimes we might be surprised, you know, when people, you know, these wild children that you just, oh, you know, what could God ever do with this kid who's driving me nuts? And wouldn't you know it, when they're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, they come to salvation and they become this beautiful flower of God. What if we had pulled that too early, you know? We just don't know. And maybe some of you, some of you kind of talk about your wild childhoods, you know. What if somebody had given up on you and said, God can't have a plan for that one, and just walked away? So we just don't know with the wheat and the weeds, you know, which one might end up being good in the long run. So that was one of my thoughts on this program. And then I thought about the, you know, don't do anything to damage the wheat. You know, so should we pull up the weeds? No, because you might accidentally pull up some of the wheat with it. That part of the story. And I wonder sometimes when we're making our own personal choices on who we're going to minister to and who we're not, you know, or you know, how much damage do we sometimes do to, you know, what we think might be a weed but really isn't, or maybe there's just a very young Christian that, you know, we say something or we do something and we kind of push that person away from God. Unintentionally, we don't mean it, we don't try it, that was not our intent at all, but sometimes we can be harsh and sometimes we can push people away with our actions, with our words, maybe just with our body language, and we hurt people. And we damage that wheat, maybe in our zealousness for, you know, saving a few or defending what we believe is right or whatever. But we have to be careful that we take care of these young, tender plants, the pre-Christians or the baby Christians, and that we don't do more damage than good as we're trying to minister and work with people. So those were some of the things that I thought of as I looked over this message. And because the Word of God is living and active, I'm sure, you know, you might be thinking there, sitting there thinking, you know, I would take it this way, which is really cool. So think about this passage and how it might apply to your life and the weeds and the wheat around you and what you're going to do with that. Let God speak to you about this passage. It's pretty amazing and fascinating. I started out by saying that radio broadcasts were named broadcasts because we broadcast the word, you know, we broadcast these messages around the world. And we need to broadcast the message of God. There are so many hurting people, so many people living in these dark, spiritually dark, dark places of the world. And so we need to broadcast God's message far and wide. We need to broadcast his light into these dark places. And we need to pray that some of the seed that we're broadcasting through these radio programs will land on the fertile soil. And we need to pray that when that seed lands, that it will be given the opportunity to grow and sprout and maybe even one day produce 100-fold because of our $4 a minute radio program that we're broadcasting out into the dark places. Radio ministry is so effective, and I hope that you'll have a new appreciation for it after tonight and not think of it as some outdated old technology, you know, Stone Age kind of thing, and that you will pray for the radio ministries going on around the world to these unreached groups on these little SD cards, whatever part of tonight that might have, like, you know, jumped out at you, take that with you and just pray for that aspect of the ministry. Because great things are happening and great things are going to continue to happen, and we want to be a part of that. So let's close with a word of prayer, and then you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you again that we can meet here tonight in your house. God, thank you that we have this opportunity. Thank you that we can meet without persecution, that we can meet in this church with a roof over our head and heat in this building on this cold and windy and rainy night. Thank you for these privileges that we have. God, thank you that we live in a country where your light still shines. And God, we pray for our brothers and sisters that are living in the dark and that are living under the persecution and in places where they cannot be so open and free. And God, we pray for their boldness and their willingness to go out and proclaim your word. And God, we ask that you would give them strength and courage and give them the power to speak out. And God, we pray for the radio programs that are reaching the people, the unreached people, and the people that have no other access to you. And God, I think about this pastor that was in the video, and Lord, his determination to see that church built, his willingness to travel that road or that lack of road, just month after month and week after week. And God, encourage our pastors and keep them strong. And may more and more stories like that come to light, and may more of your churches be planted around the world because of these men and women and the radio programs and everything that you're doing, Lord. May your light just continue to spread. And God, thank you for using us and that we might have just a small part of this program. God, may someday when we're in heaven and we get to meet some of these people that were saved through these radio programs, Lord, I'm looking forward to hearing their testimonies and hearing what they have to say and their life before and after you and the power of the airwaves. And God, we just praise you tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you again so much for being here on this miserable evening. We should pray God for the miserable praise God for the miserable evenings as well as the beautiful ones. But have a safe trip home and mind the ice come morning. So good night.